You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined this time by Harrison Fagan. Last time I made a 1-for-3 trade. I traded those three guys back in, and I got Harrison. I was able to get him out of the day spa. Harrison, how was your trip there last night? I thought it was kind of late to be there, but you know, whatever floats your boat, I guess.
It was very relaxing, Anthony. I had a very relaxing night. Definitely wasn't in a lot of pain at all.
Today's show, we are going to break away from the day-to-day coverage of the Lakers. They played a game last night that just about everybody saw. We covered that game extensively. We covered guys on the team extensively. That was a nice long show for everybody. And this is going to shock everybody, but I jumped on the trade machine this morning and my wheels started turning about opportunities for the Lakers. And let's just say I'm really happy about the way things are going out there in Oklahoma City. Harrison, if I was to say, like, I feel bad for Oklahoma City fans, do you think I would convince anybody?
No, I think people know you and your level of contempt for small markets, and especially small markets with cheap ownership. And I don't think that anyone would believe you if you said and also just the fact that their misfortune is possibly the good fortune of the Lakers.
Yeah, so I wouldn't even try.
Because remember when that trade was made and everybody was like, oh man, now Paul George may not come to the Lakers because him and Westbrook are—they're calling each other Brody on Instagram. They're best friends now. It's all going to go super well. They're a great fit. And then they like brought in Melo, and then like now Paul George is like the third option for whatever reason. And yeah, it's not going great. It's maybe not Thunder buddies for life.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't look like it. So what we're going to talk about, I've devised a scenario that is probably the Lakers' best case scenario that is still realistic. You know, some people were talking about LeBron taking the veterans minimum. I saw that in one of our reviews or mentions or one, maybe it's just my mentions. I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think there's a semi-realistic scenario here where the Lakers really come out of this coming off season looking really pretty. So we're going to get to that. As always, follow the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Let's jump right into this. Harrison, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this miracle scenario here?
I mean, as ready as I ever am for any of your ideas.
All right, so I somehow forgot that Paul George has a player option this coming offseason. And that changes everything for the Lakers. Everything. Because if there's a scenario or if there's any way whatsoever that the Lakers can acquire Paul George and somehow convince him to opt into that scenario or into that option. I've said scenario way too much. If Magic or Pelinka can convince Paul George to take his player option this summer, that saves the Lakers upwards of $7 million in cap space that they have to give out this year. And that easily, depending on the trade that the Lakers make, that easily clears up enough to offer a max contract to at least one max guy, at least LeBron. And then there are ways that the Lakers can, you know, whether it's stretching Luol Deng or making a trade that doesn't take any money back, they can then free up enough space to bring in a second max guy. If this is indeed the route that they're going to go,
but I don't. He's not going to opt in.
Well, that's
he's made. I think he's made it pretty clear he wants to like go. I guess I don't know. Has he said that? It just seems like from the leaks, he very much wants to mess with free agency.
Well, he can. He's putting off that free agency for one more year, right? And
look, I guess, but
and I yeah, think I think that would be the case if he was still in Indiana, and I think it would be the case if he lasts throughout the entire season in Oklahoma City, because things. There was a report, or it was a report last night that went out as the Thunder were getting mollywopped by an Orlando Magic team that had lost 9 straight. They, at one point, Russell Westbrook shot a look at Paul George for either a bad pass or a missed shot, and George matched that look and shot it right back at Russell Westbrook. And we joked about Thunder buddies for life, but really, what the Thunder needed to have happen this year was for those three guys, Carmelo, Paul George, and Russell Westbrook, to come together and gel in ways that no super team has really ever gelled in a single season. And the way this is all kind of playing out is very similar to that 2012-2013 Lakers season.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, we're analyzing looks that players are giving each other on the floor. It sounds like the 2012-13 Lakers.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I mean, that's
2011-12 Lakers?
I think it was 2012-2013, or whichever everybody knows listening to.
I have learned these years from my brain.
Yeah, everybody who was listening to this show, I guarantee you, knows exactly which season we're talking about, right?
Yes.
So... yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you're left to do, is you have to hyperanalyze the chemistry between these guys. And look at Paul George's numbers this year, and I'll let you give your thoughts on this trade while I look up Paul George's numbers. But the trade, in essence, as soon as Kentavious Caldwell-Pope can be traded on December 15th, is the day that becomes an option for the Lakers. The Lakers send him, Clarkson, and Nance to Oklahoma City for Paul George and Alex Abrines, because Abrines needs to be included so that the Thunder can take on both the Clarkson, Nance,
KCP for George and Abrines.
Yeah, and Abrines needs to be thrown in so that the salaries match. I'll let you give your thoughts on that while I look up Paul George's numbers.
Okay, so I think at first I'm like, no, there's no way Oklahoma City does that. But if they assume that George is going to leave, then maybe they consider it. But at the same time, I don't know what that really gets. I mean, I guess they get Nance, and I guess they get Clarkson. But I feel like there are other teams that would be willing to even offer more than that just to bet on a one-year rental of Paul George.
I don't even know... The whispers about Paul George wanting to be a Laker are just way too loud. They remain way too loud, right? And that's something that every single team is going to take into account when they're talking about potentially trading for this guy. That's why Indiana was so upset and filed tampering charges against the Lakers, is because the trade...
How did that go for them, Anthony?
Well, I think it netted them like $100,000, didn't it?
Yeah.
$500,000? Whatever it was. But for Indiana, the reason they filed those tampering charges was because the kind of offers that they were getting weren't fair market value in their eyes for probably the best player that they've ever had. And the reason that those offers were so low was because the Lakers, because of whatever the Lakers were doing to make it known throughout the league that Paul George wanted to be a Laker, and that's going to be
Even necessarily what the Lakers were doing, but what Paul George's agent was doing.
Yeah, whoever was behind it, right? That they found enough to find the Lakers the most money, I believe, in NBA history on this kind of case.
Yeah, it was the largest fine in NBA history.
So they found something.
I think it was like $2 million.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow. My dog is playing with a chew toy in the background, so she is now. This is her.
She disagrees with the tampering fine.
This is her maiden voyage on the Locked On Lakers podcast.
Oh no, it was $500,000. I don't know where I got $2 million from.
No, I thought it was $500,000, but yeah. So the reason I think Drew Ungvari actually made a good point on Twitter, because originally I was just thinking to myself, hey, it makes sense mathematically. And Callie, are you serious?
This is great audio. Maybe we should.
She's done now. Once I yelled at her, now she's all sad. But it makes sense, or made sense, that the Lakers would send Kentavious Caldwell-Pope over to Oklahoma City, basically in a straight-up trade that enables the Thunder to come off of that money and save for whatever is left after whatever transpires this offseason, right? And here in a bit, I'll explain why that isn't necessarily in the Thunder's best interests. But before we get to that, we wanted to quickly consuming. So even when you're busy, you could still be smart about the way you hire. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. So you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting, so you receive the best possible matchups. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you, it finds them. You can even get a head start on the interview process by adding screening questions to your job post to help identify the most qualified candidates, so you don't have to waste time sorting through a stack of resumes to find the perfect fit. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And the easy-to-use ZipRecruiter dashboard lets you manage your hiring process from start to finish all in one place. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes in industries to find the most qualified candidates with immediate results. Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers. So the reason it didn't make sense necessarily for the Thunder to just take on Kentavious Caldwell-Pope by himself, and maybe it's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Larry Nance or Ivica Zubac or whatever, but the reason it doesn't necessarily make sense for that is, so long as you're paying Russell Westbrook the way you're paying him, and so long as he is on your roster, you're going to want to try to compete regardless, right? So you couldn't just have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope expire and not find a replacement for Paul George. And what that leads to is Pope having all kinds of leverage in negotiations at the end of the season, because he's going to know that you have to either sign him or find a replacement with limited cap space, because they aren't going to have very much of it. You're either going to have to re-sign him or find a replacement with limited cap space that makes sense for the team moving forward. And that's going to be really hard, if not impossible, to do. So the thinking is, if they take on Jordan Clarkson, that's at least one player, a legitimate NBA player, that they get regardless of how it turns out with KCP. And if you throw in Nance to that as well, those are two legitimate NBA players. I think both Clarkson and Nance are rotation players, in my opinion, that you can point to and say, look, we at least got this despite having little to no leverage in any kind of Paul George trade situation. So would you ride with that thinking?
I guess I understand that line of thinking a little bit. I'm just reticent to say that the rest of the league, or that the Oklahoma City Thunder in this case, view Jordan Clarkson as that type of piece. I mean, I think he's definitely shown that he's an NBA player. Don't get me wrong. Like, mm-hmm. He's a rotation player, all that stuff. But if they're trading Paul, well, I guess they can't blow it up and rebuild because they're going to have Russell Westbrook. So it's not that scenario. But then at the same time, I don't really know how much Clarkson helps you on a team with Westbrook. Because I couldn't really see the two of them playing very well together. Nance, I think, would fit in fairly well in that environment. But Clarkson, actually, that might be the most ideal environment for Nance, where he just he doesn't want to shoot. That's okay. He's got a guy willing to take all of those. Yeah. But with Clarkson, I'm not sure that that's the most ideal outcome for him, or like the most ideal roster fit for him. So I don't know how much the Thunder would really value him.
Well, the reason I would say Clarkson makes a little bit of sense, and this is where, again, you kind of need Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to fit into the equation. Because I think Pope, I think, fits pretty well with Westbrook, right? He doesn't need the ball a ton to be successful. He's a good average to good on-ball defender so that Russell can still kind of do his thing and chase his triple-doubles the way he likes to do. And if those guys are your starting backcourt, I think you could do worse, right? I think that's at least a good starting backcourt in the NBA for so long as Pope is still there. And then if Clarkson basically assumes the same role that he's had in LA, out there in Oklahoma City as a combo guard coming off of the bench, then that's a pretty nice guard rotation. You just need to find somebody to be able to fit with Clarkson coming off of the bench out there too, right? So if you think that he's best suited to be a scoring combo guard, then you need a point guard, kind of the quote-unquote true point guard to play alongside him. Or if you think that Clarkson can run a team, then you can put a little bit more length back there with him. But I think there's ways to make that work. I think at the end of the day, though, it comes back to Oklahoma City in this situation. Like, beggars can't be choosers. They aren't going to have very many options.
No, they aren't, and they aren't going to have a lot of good ones, which is the only reason that I'm not willing to, like, dismiss this out of hand. But I think the other thing, too, is they very clearly made a gamble on Paul George and Russell Westbrook. And I think whether it's right or not, we've seen time and time again in the past that when teams make those kind of gambles, they aren't usually willing to admit, hey, this was a mistake, let me just see what I can do to salvage it. They're like, no, we're going to ride this out to the end. And then when this player leaves, then I'm going to go to the owner and be like, man, he screwed us. We had a perfect plan. It was just foiled by him and the Lakers.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point, that there's a very easy way for them to spin it. And especially with a fan base in a small market like that, they can kind of look at their fan base and say, see, that those damn West Coast liberals got us again, right? So I could show
us more loyalty and, like, come watch Westbrook.
Right,
like,
right.
You know, like, well, I don't
at least,
know.
It's at least just... with Paul George out of the picture, Westbrook can continue going back to stat mongering, and people seem to enjoy that out there.
Triple doubles.
The other reason, too, why I think that they would try to salvage anything from this situation is that Carmelo Anthony also has a player option. And if you were having a hard time understanding why Paul George would opt out, then it's impossible to foresee Carmelo Anthony not opting in, right? There's no way after the year that he's having out there and the last few years that he's had in New York and now in Oklahoma City, that he's going to turn down, I believe it's upwards of like $23 or $24 million next year.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, I would imagine he takes that, unless he's at the point where he's just like, the money doesn't matter as much to me. I just want to go play with LeBron, in which case I could see him kind of following him somewhere, whether that's the Cavs or the Lakers or whatever. I could definitely see Melo ending up latching on to a contender for like less money just because he wants to go somewhere where he can win. I think he just seems to be at that point where the money is no longer the most important thing to him.
He would be owed next year $27.9 million.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
I don't think there's any
that's
way
that's a hard one to turn down.
Yeah, because he would be because I don't.
Speaking as Carmelo Anthony's agent, as I am appointing myself right now, that's a tough one.
I would agree completely. We're going to continue with this conversation here in a second because I think there's a ton of interesting angles to all of this. Not to mention the fact that the Lakers are looking at some of their pieces moving forward, and Ivica Zubac comes directly to mind. That they have to look at that situation and say, man, I don't know if you would have told me before this season that it wasn't necessarily guaranteed that they wouldn't bring him back, I would have called you crazy. But
I would have rioted in the streets.
Yeah, you would have actually come down to my house and fought me. Actually,
yeah.
But you are not here at my house, which tells me that situation has evolved a little bit. But before we get to that, I wanted to quickly talk about draft.com. We usually do our drafts on Wednesdays. we kind of blew it. So we're going to do our draft tomorrow, or by the time everybody is listening to this, today on a Friday. There's a full slate of NBA games to be able to get to. I and Harrison will be in there again. And because I won last week, I'll make the same offer again. If somebody beats me, I will match their winnings. I'm still waiting for Olivia to reach out to me with some kind of...
We have spoken, and we're going to get her on the show. We're just working on that for next week. Schedules didn't match up this week.
No worries. But same offers stand. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy competing with you guys and engaging with you guys in different ways than we usually do. So Harrison is going to throw the link back out there tomorrow. I will be in there. Some of the other guys from the show yesterday are going to be on there. So I hope everybody joins in on that. That's draft.com or the draft application. If you use the promo code LO Lakers, you get your deposit back, or you get your entry fee is free, I believe.
Right? You get a free $3 ticket, and it's going to be a $3 league. So you can come and play with us for free. It's really fun. You get to draft your own team, and you get to like talk crap with me and Anthony.
Absolutely.
Maybe if you win. If you lose, then suck.
How did last week go for you, Harrison?
It sucks to suck.
It sucks to suck. All right, so I wanted to get back to this conversation then about Ivica Zubac. What the hell is going on, man? This is insane.
I mean, it's not that insane, really. Like, I think it's weird. The Bogut thing is weird, that they signed him, that he's getting minutes, all of that stuff, because it looked like those token backup true seven-footer minutes, which we knew the Lakers weren't going to play a lot of going into the year, but it looked like whatever minutes of those were available were Zubac's to lose. And then all of a sudden the Lakers signed Bogut, and now Bogut's getting those minutes. And this is almost all of a sudden like a redshirt year for him.
I would agree, except his redshirt year happens to come when at season's end the Lakers have a decision to make about whether or not they want to keep him. And that decision, like the Lakers as it currently stands, do not...
It's so cheap, though. Like, I can't imagine them going away from him.
Well, but that's what we said about David Nwaba, right? And he is now a Chicago Bull, so that the Lakers could offer an extra $1 million to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. If that extra $1 million can now go to LeBron James, and we've already seen the Lakers make a similar decision with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, how do you think that's playing out?
Zugon.
Zubac is a future former Laker, right? And
yeah,
and it's kind of too bad. I would like to see more of Thomas Bryant before we leap to this kind of conclusion, but I haven't seen Zubac really look all that comfortable in meaningful minutes this year for the Lakers. And I understand that there are a ton of locker room dynamic reasons why Bogut might be getting minutes ahead of Zubac, especially early on in the year. And maybe over the course of the season, that changes because the Lakers fall out of the playoff picture, or Bogut asks for a buyout to go to something closer to a title contender. But as it stands right now, I legitimately didn't know which way to lean. I am 50-50 split down the middle as far as what I would predict for Zubac moving forward. And it's really kind of too bad given how good a year that he had, right? It's
a weird spot to be at. Like, there were people that had declared him the Lakers' second best young player. And like, while I was never on board with that, I mean,
aren't you wearing like a Zubac jersey
to fall
right
this
now?
Far, you know, Anthony, like, so for him to fall this far, I just think is crazy.
Yeah, it's really too bad. So I've had multiple people, because I threw that question on Twitter today, and I asked, how do you think this plays out with Zubac? Is it a guarantee that the Lakers pick up his option this coming summer? And I was surprised at the number of people who said no, one, right? Because he was kind of a cult sensation last year. Yeah. And then the other response was, well, they can just trade him anyway this season to get rid of Deng's deal. And I'm like, look, guys, If his own team isn't
that'll work.
If his own team isn't interested in picking up $1.7 million in this coming offseason, I'm not necessarily sure another team is going to be willing to take on, what is it, $36 million the next two seasons to pay Deng. So I don't see how that plays out. To put a bow on all of this, though, because I do think it's worth wondering about, if this is how, like, if all this actually comes to fruition, which it never does. Like, if an idea,
if the Lakers trade for Paul George and then waive Ivica Zubac,
right? Like, if there's an idea simple enough that a dumbass like myself can come up with it, then chances are the millionaires who are running these billion-dollar teams have probably thought of it before, right? So just in general.
Yeah, Rob Pelinka has texted like multiple NBA teams, and he's like, hey guys, this Luol Deng contract will apparently never end. But do I have some good news for you? We have Ivica Zubac, our second most promising young player. I will trade him if you will take this abomination of a deal that Luol Deng is under. It's Click. The longest deal and possibly the most overpaid I've ever seen from a player. As the guy who got Kobe his extension, I am morbidly impressed.
Hello? Who is there? That was
literally... Why am I talking when I'm texting? Yeah,
that was literally the shortest conversation I've ever had. but I would, if this actually does all to come to fruition, then all of the hand-wringing about the D'Angelo Russell deal and all of the hand-wringing about the inexperience in Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka's background heading into their tenure here with the Lakers, like, that all just goes poof, right? If the Lakers are somehow able to not only acquire Paul George midseason, also convince him to opt in to his player option and take less to open up more money to either offer to LeBron or Boogie or whoever have you, then they get statues, basically.
Yeah, I think so. And we'll have to stop making fun of them.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, the Rob Pelinka voice isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, it's true. Nihilistic Rob Pelinka is one of my favorite characters.
There needs to be an @nihilistic Rob Pelinka on Twitter.
I mean, Anthony, creating a fake account for one of the Lakers' upper management members would be incredibly immature, and I don't know why anyone would do that.
Completely agree. Last question, and I'm throwing this on you. This is I don't want to give people less than a half hour to send them into the weekend. So, last question, and I'm dropping this on you without any warning. Given the way Randall has played, he's shown an ability to guard 1 through 5. Defensively, he has made, if you look at all of the Lakers' top lineups, there's a constant there. And Julius Randle is in all of the Lakers' top lineups. He has shown himself to be probably the most valuable player on this team right now.
In the league. Oh.
That too. But has one, would you say that he has played himself into a situation where he cannot be moved?
That's interesting. I mean, it would depend on the price, but then, like we've said all year, I'm not sure that there's a team that's giving up a bunch to be allowed to pay Julius Randle, because they would, if they could pay Julius Randle, then they'd probably just rather do that in free agency. Mm-hmm. And so I think he might have, because the Lakers have made it very clear that they're trying to win stuff this year, and he's a big part of that. And so I don't see them just flipping him for whatever kind of, like, because the return would be less than I think Lakers fans would expect based on how well he's played. Mm-hmm. And what that return would be, I just can't see the Lakers flipping for him, because again, they're like trying to make good impressions on these these prospective free agents. Mm-hmm. And so I can't see them like flipping Randall for nothing, which is, you know, hey, kudos to Randall, because that's what we thought it was going to come down to this year, right? Was like, would the Lakers be willing to take like a late first round pick for Randall? Like best case scenario, but he's been amazing, and he's played so well that what the Lakers would write, because if they take a really cheap price, then all of a sudden everybody thinks that they can fleece you. That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. So like them thinking long term, they just can't take like nothing for him just to get out from under his contract, because he's played so well, and then everybody would just think that they could fleece the Lakers in any deal or get them to take a lower price, or that they were desperate because of free agency. I just can't see them doing that, taking a lower price, and then the price that it actually would take to make a Randle trade justified, I can't really see another team paying up. So it's one of those situations where I think he's played himself out of being traded, but not necessarily for the reason that like it's because the Lakers can't part with him.
Do you think the second half of this question is, I would say, probably more important than the first part? Do you think this is who Randle is always, or do you think this is contract year Julius Randle?
I've been thinking about that lately, and whether and how much it does matter that he is in a contract year, or if this is a light flipping on. And I mean, honestly, it's just impossible to say. The Lakers are going to have to use the best intel that they can get, because they see him every day, right? They see him working, and they saw him the last couple of years, and they interact with him all the time. And so I think it would be hard to hide that you were doing it just for the money for an entire year. I think they would have the sense that he had made a legitimate change, or they would have some sense of whether or not he had.
Yeah, I think your answer is perfect, even albeit boring, right? And that's kind of how these things tend to be, is that, you know, if you're going to take a stance one way or the other here, you're judging a player who, frankly, you don't know.
That's enough. What I'm saying. I don't know. I don't talk to Julius Randle. Right. Julius Randle doesn't tell me what, like, you know, his actual mode. Like, if I were to ask him, is this just a contract year thing? He's not going to, even if it was, he would not tell me it was. And so, like, it's one of those things that's just kind of impossible to know, I think. And I know that that's not the most interesting answer that I can give, but I'm also not just going to give a hot take just for effect. I mean, who does that?
Apparently Gilbert Arenas with his new show.
Yeah, well, also the joke was that I have a segment called Harrison's Hot Takes, but
oh, I meant that flew over my head.
Just
I agree with both parts of your answers here, and here's how good he has been. And this is going to sound insane, and I can't wait to be told that I am insane for thinking this.
He's Draymond Green with less technical fouls.
Yeah, he's Draymond Green, but whose opponents don't have to worry about wearing a cup.
Yep.
But I was, if you go through
the list. Oh, is that not the actual one?
That'd be good. Sign off. All right, bye. Bye, guys. No, but if you go through the list of guys that the Lakers are rumored to be interested in, or fans really want the Lakers to sign this upcoming offseason, it's LeBron at the top of the list. It's Paul George shortly thereafter. And then I would say the next guy on that list is Boogie Cousins. And Randle has played himself to a situation here. And again, I will 100% cop to being insane in my thinking here. But Randle has been so valuable and so good on defense that I would maybe not hesitate to sign Cousins, because he's that good of a talent that if you can get your hands on him, you do so 100 times out of 100. But I would be a little bit nervous, because Randle has shown himself to be at his absolute best at the five. Boogie Cousins definitely cannot play the four and isn't very good defensively, especially in his switchability. And that
this is where I would jump in and say that Cousins can stretch the floor a little bit, mm-hmm. but then it's like Luke Walton very clearly hasn't wanted to play Randle with a player that can post up and also stretch the floor a little bit this year. So right.
Luke Walton cares a lot more about defense. And it's fair to wonder if Randle and Cousins work defensively. And if that remains, maybe their priorities change when you get a player like Cousins. And you get a player like Cousins who is under contract for beyond this upcoming season. Because I think a lot of why Walton has coached this team the way he has a lot to do with the fact that Brook Lopez is not in under contract next season. And so why invest a bunch of time, because I think it is harder to teach offense than defense. Why invest a bunch of time into the offensive side of the ball when defense seems to be a little bit more sustainable? And I think that's kind of played into why the dynamic between Lopez and Randall hasn't been what people might have thought heading into the season. So maybe that changes when you get a guy like Cousins. But it's something that's in the back of my mind. And that is solely due to the fact that Randall has been a freaking superstar this season.
He's been incredible.
He's been really freaking good. And if the Lakers were winning a little bit more, he would probably be in the running for, you know, comeback player of the year or whatever that
stupid award is called now.
Yeah, whatever award that nobody really cares about, nobody really wants to win is called. But they're like,
oh, it's most improved player. Yeah. Cool. Like reigning most improved player.
Worst player from last year to best player this year. Way to go.
Or like a lot of the time, like player who took natural steps in their development process.
Yeah, fourth year player of the year award.
Yeah.
but I think it's an interesting conversation. So let us know what you guys think, whether it's in our mentions. If you have a question about any aspect of the trade or contract stuff that you want us to dive deeper into, let us know in our iTunes reviews. As always, the best way to get your topic that you want us to talk about is to leave it in a 5-star review on iTunes. And
especially because my Twitter mentions have been such a dumpster fire lately that I haven't really been looking at them very much.
Yeah. Ours both.
iTunes reviews, way better.
ours both. But as always, make sure you're following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Today's show is brought to you by ZipRecruiters. Head to ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers to try that product for free. Again, if you guys want to draft with Harrison and me, it's a full slate of NBA games, full slate NBA Friday. Always a bunch of fun, and you can win maybe even my money. Although I guess technically this time you would be winning somebody else's money who I won off of you guys last time, but you can win Harrison's money, which is always fun.
Hey man, I got a chance. I'm feeling pretty confident this week. I think I'm going to get it this time.
All right. Sounds good. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you again on Monday. We'll be right back.